Welcome to the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilson here on The Encouraging Word, and a message that you can participate with. It's always good to hear these Bible-based messages from Dr. Wilson, but today you'll participate in the observance of the Lord's Supper in just a few minutes. Perhaps you would like to grab a cup of water or a bit of juice, some bread or a cracker, and in just a moment, as a part of the family of God, wherever you are, participate with us in the observance of the Lord's Supper. Now, Dr. Wilson has a remarkable message coming up first that will be tying together not only the journeys of Paul we've been in together, but also this powerful celebration of life and connectedness in the body of Christ. Just know that we're ready to participate with you on the phone as well at 866-899-WORD. And now, Dr. Don Wilson.
Studying God's Word is so precious to us. And today, like many other people, we come together around the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper. This is not a ritual. This is not a habit. It's very significant. And I want to share something with you today that I think will be a great blessing to you. Has been to me. You know, Paul made a statement. We'll get there just now. He said, I want to pass on to you, which the Lord passed on to me. Paul made the statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll get there in a minute. He said, so I pass on to you that which the Lord gave to me to pass on, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed. And in a similar way, if you will open your heart today, I want to pass on to you that which the Lord has put in my heart for the next few minutes. And I'm praying that God is going to give you a very fresh understanding of the deep significance of the Lord's table, of this communion service, of which you are invited to participate. We're all part of that. This is not a Baptist table. This is for all those who love the Lord Jesus. And this is the center of what we believe. If you look at me today and you say, well, Dr. Wilson, what exactly do you believe? I'm about to show you. This is it. Because this is the ultimate message of hope. And so it is that Paul found himself on this journey, going through all of these cities in the known world to him, and he arrived in the city of Corinth. And if you take a peek over here with me, because we've been here already, but I just want to briefly contextualize, because this is very important for all of us. In this journey of the Apostle Paul, as he left Berea and came down to the city of Athens, which is so critical, and then he crossed over the isthmus. By the way, there's a thin little strip of water there even today. So if you were to go to the city of Corinth, the difference is you might be in your motor car. I certainly would be. I'd like to be on a motorbike with people like John Vernon and others, just enjoying ourselves. But there's like a little bridgeway that actually joins this part of Greece to the mainland of Greece. It was a very, very critical place. But the important thing about Corinth is that Corinth was a very troubled city. Now, you would not have thought so because they had a lot of the very best of their known world. They had lots of shops, merchants. They had places to go. They had the beauty of the land. This was a very beautiful part of the country. I don't know to what extent back then they enjoyed taking outings, but I should imagine there was many a family picnic that went on some of these cliffs. It was a great family place. It was cosmopolitan. It was a mixture of every kind of person from every region of the world. And because it was surrounded by sea, It was infiltrated a lot by merchant seamen, navy personnel. But there was a serious problem with this, because all of these people brought in their own perspective. So the court of public opinion in Corinth was very troublesome in many ways, because everybody had an opinion. But there was little one problem that was happening here at Corinth. All those opinions out there evidently found their way into the church. No, sir. In Corinth, they had a serious problem, because the church was established and believers were gathering, and many of them were bringing their outside inside. And it seriously messed up the church. I'm going to make a pretty tough statement here today, because people say this. Well, you know, in the church, everybody has say-so. No, you don't. I don't. You don't. Because Christ is the head of the church. And just as a matter of interest, he's not a Republican and he's not a Democrat either. Would somebody say, praise God? Right? And Paul here finds himself in Corinth. So I want you just very quickly with me turn to the book of Acts chapter 18. I'm going to read you one verse. The book of Acts chapter 18. And just take a look with me at verse 13. Acts chapter 18 and verse 13. You're a man who is persuading people to worship God contrary to the law. I don't have a lot of time to unpack this today, but there were two things that governed the gathering of believers at the church of Corinth. One was the behavior of the pagans, and the second thing was the letter of the Mosaic law. Thou shalt not. And the way in which we are going to justify our behavioral patterns according to the pagans is we're going to invoke Mosaic law. If we can get on the right side of the rabbis and the religious rulers, we've got it made inside the church. And all we have to do is satisfy the letter of the law. And Paul said these things ought not to be. So go back to 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. All of you, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is what Paul told these people in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, when I came to you, I did not come to you proclaiming the testimony of God with all kinds of lofty speech and wisdom. Rather, I came to you knowing nothing among you excepting Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Why was Paul so determined to focus on Jesus? Three reasons that are powerful. Number one, because the world was infiltrating the church. I say to you with all the love in my heart, the evangelical church in America needs to sit up and take note. Back there in Corinth, the behavior of the world had found its way into the inside of God's church. The world had infiltrated the church. And Paul knew it. The second reason why he was so determined was because the law was binding them to rules and regulations. It's such a fine line, isn't there? You know, I want to encourage all of you to tithe because it's God's way. But not even tithing can be written down as a law related to your relationship and the expression of your life in Christ any more than me preaching is, or going on a mission trip. I do this because I am a saved man, because Jesus is in my heart, not in order to accomplish my salvation. I can't help myself tithing 10% of all my income to my church. I just can't help myself, because that's what God says. And I do it not in order to gain favor with God or to accomplish my salvation. I do it because He gave His life for me, and because He suffered on a cross for me, and because I'm forgiven. I cannot outgive God, and now I know that everything that I have comes from Him to begin with. That's why we do that. We love because He loved us. You know, I can't help loving you. And it's just, it's so real. I can't help it. And Jesus said, by this will all people know that you belong to me because you love one another. But thirdly, because the cross was the only means of forgiveness. You had people in the church at Corinth that were sinning greatly. And Paul knew that the only means by which they could be forgiven was through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why He died upon the cross. That's why we have such good news. That's why this is the only message of hope. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Everybody, I want you to look there at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to read this passage to you. I really believe you might hear some things in perhaps a fresh perspective today. Why did Paul present the Lord's Supper to the church at Corinth? Why did God want him to write this to these people here in Corinth? This place where that was so economically powerful, that had such family atmosphere, that was so cosmopolitan, that was overwhelmed by merchants, and yet was so deeply entrenched in pagan practices, in immorality, in political struggles. This Corinth, Paul looked at them, and in 1 Corinthians 11, this is what he said to the church, to the people, to someone like me. He said, in the following instructions, I do not commend you. Because when you come together, it's not for the better, but for the worse. In the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe it is true. For there must be. Now he gets very facetious here, sarcastic. He says, oh, well, obviously there must be, in order that those who are genuine, those who think they are somebody's among you, get the proper recognition. So I guess you've got to all try and prove to each other how magnificent you are, how important you are, how political astute you are, how vocal you are. I mean, he just puts this onto our human personality, doesn't he? Verse 20. Now, when you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper that you're eating. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. And many of you are just getting drunk. Some of you have even turned the church into nothing but your means by which all you're trying to do is to satisfy your own human desires. That's what he was saying there. You've just turned your church into just a place where whatever it is you do out there, you do in here. It's got nothing to do with Jesus. Half of America today spend their time going around saying, I want to go to a church that can provide for me, can make me happy. If they don't have what I want, I'm not going there. And in reality, in the totality of the church and all the things that God gives us to do, I mean, our young people today are in Panama City, Florida, hundreds of them. God is pouring out His Spirit upon them. Many of them have come to know Christ. The team gets on the road this afternoon. We're praying for them. They're having a ball. I'm jealous. They're at the beach. The church is a vibrant place where people come together on mission and we show one another how to live. But Paul looked at them and he said, listen, the problem with you is when you come together, all you're wanting to do is bring outside in here and you're forgetting the real reason why you come together. Verse 22, what? Do you not have your own homes and places to eat and drink in? Do you despise the church of God? Shall I commend you in this? Paul said, no, I will not. And here it is. For I received from the Lord Jesus, which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you are proclaiming Jesus' death until he comes again. Whoever therefore eats the bread, drinks the cup in an unworthy manner. We've just talked about what an unworthy manner is. Anyone who drinks, eats, anyone who comes, he's placing before God's people the centerpiece on the mantelpiece. Anyone who eats and drinks will be guilty concerning the blood of the Lord Jesus. Therefore, examine yourself before the Lord. And if anyone who eats or drinks without discerning, without understanding the body and the cup, eats and drinks judgment on himself, be careful, he said, church. Be careful. You leaders, be careful. Don't you bring your politics and your social junk and your pet peeves into the church. Don't you sit there. Don't strut around. Don't behave badly in God's house. Don't be anything less than 100% unified in Christ. You've got too much out there. There's too much division going on. There's too much distress. There are too many people hurting. There are too many people seeking. The pagans are going berserk. Legislation is being passed every day that defies the very name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you come together in God's house, you look into the face of the one who gave his life for man. For every person, every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. Then he says in verse 33, so when you do this and come together, and you receive the bread and then the cup, wait. And when you've received the bread and then when you've received the cup, wait. Why wait? Why do we wait? You ever heard someone say, oh, please, that's, you don't. I take that very seriously. We do. Wait. But he's saying symbolically, this is Jesus, the greatest among us and the least among us. Let's rally around Jesus. I'm going to ask today my two brothers, Steve Wise and Eddie Robertson, to join me here at the table up in the balcony, Keith Phillips and Sal Barone, and we're going to participate together in the Lord's table.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilson here on The Encouraging Word, and he'll be back to conclude this observance of the Lord's Supper in just a moment. But we want you to know that we would love to connect with you. You can do it on our website at theencouragingword.org. Many folks are following the pastor now on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow us on Facebook as well. We'd love to connect with you socially outside of this broadcast, and also know that we're available to pray with you and for you. Our care line is 866-899-WORD. It represents a connection to many of us who would be loved to pray with you and for you. All you need to do is call. That's 866-899-9673. And if you haven't heard about this wonderful resource about knowing that you have security in your salvation with Jesus Christ, here's Dr. Don about this wonderful book, Totally Secure.
Hello, my friends. Just want to personally speak to you today from my heart to yours. You know, it seems to me that throughout the world, people from every walk of life, both churched and unchurched, struggle with questions just like this. What is salvation? Who's my salvation? Will I go to heaven? And what happens when I sin? Most of you know that I had a long, wonderful, personal relationship with Dr. Billy Graham, how much he impacted my life and millions of people around the world. You know, on one of our occasions back in the early 2000s, Mr. Graham looked at me and he said, Don, there are two critical things that we need to deal with. Number one, the question of salvation, people giving their lives to Christ. I said to him, Mr. Graham, what's the second? He said that those people who have given their lives to Christ know that they belong to Him. And so it is that he encouraged me to write a wonderful book called Totally Secure, that people all across the country have in their possession today. In fact, he even wrote the foreword for me. I want you to have that assurance that we write about from God's Word, that you are going to heaven. Please pick up the telephone right now and call the number and request a copy. The Encouraging Broadcast Word is supported by viewers and listeners like you who want to make a difference in our world. So thanks for requesting my book, Totally Secure. Your financial support enables us to continue forward for Christ.
Now back to today's observance of the Lord's Supper. I pray you'll participate with us with a bit of juice or water, a bread or a cracker, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together.
We're going to receive the bread together. Our servant leaders are going to come give it to you. When you get it, let's just do what the Bible says, shall we? Hold it. Wait. And when we've all got it, let's eat together. And that is a sign of our oneness around Jesus. Around Jesus. Welcome to God's table.
It's so wonderful for us to be able to participate together like this around the Lord's table. And I'm so glad that you're joining with us as we do so today. We're so reminded of the Lord Jesus Christ who gave His life for us, His body to be broken. Just incredible love given to all of us that we might all have life. You can participate, and I pray and trust that you're able to get a little bread, something that you could participate with us. And in just a moment, I'm going to invite all of us to eat together, signifying our unity as Christian men and women who love the Lord Jesus Christ and who thank Him for what He did for us upon the cross.
One body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Look at us. Just look at us. We're old and young and tall and short, very slim, round. Just think about that. Think of what God's people represent. And Jesus brings our whole life into perspective. Let's eat and thank Jesus together. In the same way, when we receive the cup, we will retain it, and then we will all drink together.
In just the same way as we all participate in drinking from the cup, being reminded of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed upon the cross for us. You know, the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. And I hope that you have been able to participate with us. Then I'm going to invite all of us to drink together as we remember the Lord's death until He comes again. Thank you for what you mean to me and to all of us. And isn't it wonderful to know that together we are all one in Christ Jesus?
Well, there it is, the church. I drink with you this cup in unity, because together we know that it's because the blood of Jesus was shed on Calvary that we have forgiveness of sin, that we've been set free, and that one day we're all just going to be in heaven joining all our loved ones forever. I love you today. Let's drink together.
It's been a remarkable time of observing the Lord's Supper together. But perhaps as you've been listening in, you realize there's distance. And the idea of celebrating the Lord's Supper is almost alien to you because you need to celebrate coming to Jesus first. Let us talk with you. Let us pray with you. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. And I know we text and type. You can do that through the keyboard. We go keyboard to keyboard with you at theencouragingword.org. But I suggest you jot this down or put it in your cell, 866-899-9673. We'll always connect you with someone happy to talk with you, pray with you, connect you with free resources and more. That's 866-899-9673. Or as I mentioned earlier, you can meet us online at theencouragingword.org. Until next time, I pray you'll consider getting the new Daily Encouraging Word email from Dr. Don. You can subscribe just by texting DAILY to 30500. Again, that's DAILY to 30500.